Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, for downloading the podcast. I'm Brian Fritz. He is Michael Wiseman. We appreciate everybody for dialing in. Remember, you can get the Between the Ropes podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on the Google Play app, and plenty of other places that are out there, the TuneIn app as well. So how's
everything
going?
Just don't get it illegally. Don't get our podcast illegally.
Exactly, man.
And nobody gets paid.
And those damn geo sites that are out there, those GeoCity sites, you know.
Angel Fire.
I don't trust those things either. So, yeah. By the way, when you go on iTunes, rate and review the podcast. Give us a nice little review. Give us a review and rate it. That helps us out. So how's everything going in your neck of the woods?
It's going good. My neck is good. My woods are good. We're doing good all the way around.
Do you have any clowns popping out of the woods scaring the bejesus out of you?
So you know what's funny about the clowns? We haven't talked about the clowns. But yeah. I think we should talk about the clowns for a minute because the clowns are kind of crazy. So you know where those clowns started popping up hot and heavy about a month ago was in South Carolina.
Right.
Right? It was in not too far away from Charleston. There were some that popped up near Greer. I was down in South Carolina in those necks of the woods at the time when those clowns started popping up.
So you're saying that you were one of the clowns?
I'm not saying that, but I will say this. I came back to North Carolina, and around that same weekend that I returned to North Carolina, the clowns started popping up here in Winston-Salem. So I don't know, coincidence or something more. I'll let you decide.
Well, I will say this, okay? First of all, the clowns are scary as hell. I hate clowns, personally. Mm-hmm. I really do. I do not like clowns.
Doink was your favorite wrestler of all?
Oh, my God. I really do not like clowns, man. They freak me out for some reason. That's like when if people really want to scare the crap out of me and get under my skin, be a clown, okay? I went to Halloween Horror Nights years ago, and I damn near punched a clown because it jumped out at me. And not just punch, like I almost gave him a vicious elbow, if I want to call my elbow vicious. But I almost elbowed
somebody. A flying forearm.
Yes, I damn near did, man, because this thing jumped out at me out of nowhere. But I am not a fan of clowns. And
really?
Now I heard that the clown thing, that some people believe that this happened because they were trying to make a scene and make it go viral for like some independent movie about clowns.
Huh. I've not heard that.
Yeah, I heard something about that. Like they were hoping to get some buzz for it.
Shot. Did one of these clowns get shot?
Yes, one of them did get shot.
Dear Lord, that's too much.
It's a crazy scene, man. I'll tell you another little weird scene. Not as weird as clowns, but I'm going to admit this to everybody because you like to make fun of me at my age. Okay, so I'm gonna be asked about this.
Is this something you did in your earlier age with Ron Jeremy?
No, because you know you like to make fun of me, saying that I'm an old man and whatnot. You know,
you do watch Blue Bloods, and
I do not watch Blue Bloods.
Go to the K&W by 4 o'clock.
I do enjoy a good season of Longmire, and I just watched the entire fifth season on Netflix.
Oh,
I am as I'm doing this because I'm sitting in front of my computer and looking at the screen here. I am wearing reading glasses.
Oh, Lord. Reading glasses. You have to push them up on your nose a whole lot.
No.
Are they bifocals? Are they
not. They are regular glasses like what you wear, just not that heavy of a prescription. They are not bifocals. They're not the little half Benjamin Franklin type glasses either. They're regular looking glasses.
Okay. Did you buy them at the CVS for
$10?
No.
This was a gift from my wife, actually, because I went and got an eye exam, and they gave me the prescription and everything. And I was looking around at different glasses because we went to Lens Crafters, and she decided, hey, why don't we just splurge and get you a really nice looking pair of glasses? You know, as long as you take care of them, you don't have to wear them too often, and we can have them for a long period of time. So she was like, I will buy you the glasses. So I was like, all right, let's go wild.
It's like what you do for grandpa. Grandpa gets a little bit too old. All right, grandpa, happy birthday. We bought you a new pair of spectacles.
It's not on a chain around my neck. It's not like some $10 wire frame ones or anything. These are nice looking. These are kind of like the glasses that you wear.
Did you get the big sunglass shades that go over the glasses to wear while you drive?
I did not get the flippers. No, I did not. Okay. Oh, see, this is what I get for admitting this to you. Okay, I try to be nice, you know, and you just insult me.
Because Blue Bloods look better than ever because
I don't watch Blue Bloods. I swear to God, I don't know what Tom Selleck's performance is on like is like on that show. I'm sure it's captivating because he's Tom Selleck, but I don't watch Blue Bloods.
Do you still catch the 11 o'clock showing of Price is Right every day?
No, but I do try to make it a habit of watching Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune every night.
You check in on the reruns on Golden Girls, right?
Thank you for being
Murder,
a friend.
Murder, She Wrote. You're like looking for, where did Murder, She Wrote go? I know that's on here somewhere.
Oh, my God. You're going to start quoting my 40-year-old version. Because remember, he talks about Murder, She Wrote. You know, like, she's going to send you a check for $13 on your birthday.
I don't remember that. That's
well, there's the part where he finds out that he's dating a grandma. The woman
Dating
a grandma. Oh, she's a hot grandma.
Oh, man. I know we got to get off here pretty soon because it is almost 9 o'clock, which is past your bedtime. So why don't we just go ahead and wrap
No, that's
it up
my wife's bedtime. I stay up a little bit later than that, but I do have a nice little glass of warm milk to wash it down. I'm kidding. I do not. I'm not that old. I promise. We got a lot of stuff to get into.
You do live in Florida, which is like the retirement community of America.
Dude, I'm not in Del Boca Vista with the Seinfelds, okay?
You were there when Morty was mad about the pin. You're like, Morty should have kept the pin.
The astronaut pin.
The astronaut pin.
It writes upside down.
Take the pin. I don't want the pin. Take the pin.
Send me the overcoats, okay? Ship them overnight. Before we get everything we're going to talk about this week when it comes to WWE and TNA, and there's a lot to get to, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh, well, it's funny you should ask.
Yeah.
Because I am back on the wagon, right? Is that the right one?
Was there any doubt that you were stay off the wagon?
Am I off the wagon? Is that what you said?
No, you're on the wagon. I said, is there any doubt that you would stay off the wagon?
Oh, well, you know, it was touch and go there for a little while. I went to a wedding this weekend.
Yeah.
There's a bar. It's a brewery bar here in town called Hoots. And a friend of ours got married, so we went. And they had an open bar, which is fantastic.
Of course.
And they had this delicious Oktoberfest. And it was bad enough that I kept going back up to the bar. And there was, you know, you could get a mixed drink if you wanted it. You could get some other drinks. But this beer, this Oktoberfest that Hoots makes here in town, I kept going back up and getting more and more and more. By like the fifth one, I just literally walked up there and like, here you go. And the sixth one, she was like, no, we're out. And I was like, what? She's like, nope, I'm just playing. You look so sad. And then gave me another one. So it was it was glorious, as Bobby Roode would say.
Is that what you're drinking tonight?
No, actually, I am not. That was from a keg. I have a bottle. Natty Greens, a brewery out of Greensboro, North Carolina. I am drinking the Mount Mitchell Single Hop IPA. I can't remember if we featured it on the show before, but tonight it is my beer of choice. It is a great IPA. It's actually about 7% alcohol, so
nice. Yeah,
pretty good. Here we go. Let's see if this works. All right. Nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Nice.
Stone Cold approves the IPA.
So
what?
Going to the NASCAR race this weekend, so I am going to have to cheapen up my look a little bit. Probably going to bust into to some Bud Lights.
Oh, tall boy PBRs, man. Come on.
As long as I can get them in a can, then they'll make it onto the track, so we're good.
There you go, man. I went to the Food and Wine Festival out at Epcot this past weekend, and I partook in some alcoholic beverages there.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Plus, they had some ciders, which is great. They had one, I swear to God, it tasted just like fruit juice. Like, it tasted like berry juice almost, but it was alcohol.
That's dangerous.
Oh,
that is dangerous.
Yeah, I know, especially at the cost when they're giving, like, you know, it's like, I don't know, 6 ounces for $4.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
Going around getting some drinks, did you get any? You didn't probably get any mixed drinks, though, did you?
They don't have mixed drinks.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I figured
it's only beers. Beer and wine.
Where you order like an old fashioned, and you're like, this old fashioned isn't old enough. Back in my day,
It's funny though, because they used to have one mixed drink, and my buddy Pedro, who you know, he always went to He went and got the mixed drink last. After he would go and drink and enjoy all the different areas there, and then he would go and get a scotch to top off the night, and they no longer do have the scotch.
That is sad.
Yeah, he is very upset about it, to say the least. He enjoyed a scotch to top off his food and wine festival for a night, but they got the idea that people are getting too liquored up, I guess, with the scotch.
At Disney World. It is the most magical place on Earth. So.
You know what the funny thing is? That at Magic Kingdom, they don't sell beer. But if you go to any of the other Disney parks, oh, yes, they do.
That's awesome.
Including, I went to one of the places, which is a 50s-themed cafe, I think, and they have a bar next door. And I walked in there with a soda. And the woman behind the bar, she goes, "Can I freshen that up? How about a little Jack?" And I was like, am I at Disney World right now?
What is this? I was like, she got a flask. She got a flask under the table that she sits out of all day.
I was like, wow, I guess yeah, this is interesting for Disney. But yeah, very interesting. So as we are taping this on Wednesday night, the word is expected to come out, or at least something is going to come out, of Bill Goldberg of WCW fame. He will be the guest on ESPN Sports Center with Jonathan Coachman, and he is going to be talking about the 2K17 video game, which he is on the cover of. But it is also believed that he will either talk up or officially announce a match between himself and Brock Lesnar, with the common belief right now from Jim Ross and from Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, that the match would take place not at WrestleMania, but at Survivor Series in November.
So, Bill Goldberg, he was the guy that he went undefeated for a while, right?
Yes, he did.
You know, I feel like it's time to go back and revisit a few of his great victories from the streak, right? Remember the streak?
Like, do we need to come up with some of those again?
wait. This is going to be our monthly revisit to the Bill Goldberg streak that lasted, what, 372 wins or something like that?
I think it was like 172 or something like
172
that.
172 wins. And like 15 of those were over. What was the – oh, man.
Oh, I have the matches up in front of me right now, my friend.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, it started with Hugh Morris.
Hugh Morris, oh.
And he got a couple wins over Hugh Morris during the streak, let me tell you. He got more than a couple. I always loved the different streaks that would go on. Like, on March 7th, 1998, where he beat Yuji Nagata on a house show in Charleston, West Virginia. Then the following night in Johnson City, Goldberg extended the streak by beating Yuji Nagata. Or how about later in that month, where at a house show in Troy, Ohio, he beat Brad Armstrong. Then the next night in Mannion, Indiana, he beat Brad Armstrong. And the following night in Cincinnati, Ohio, on another WCW house show, he extended the streak by beating Brad Armstrong.
Yeah. Is this Brad Armstrong, not the
Not the referee Scott Armstrong.
No, not related, though, is what I meant.
Yeah, they are related. They're brothers.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, okay. Brad has passed away, but Brad Armstrong was an awesome worker.
He's also related to Road Dogg. Holy cow.
Yeah, they're all brothers, man. Do you know that, like, later that month, that Bill Goldberg faced Jerry Flynn? Not Jerry Lynn, Jerry Flynn. And
I think I do remember this now that you're saying.
And to help with the streak, Goldberg, in six wins, five of them were against Jerry Flynn. Well, no, it was 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, he beat him five times in a row. Then he beat Ray Traylor, a.k.a. the Big Boss Man. Then he went back and beat Jerry Flynn one more time. And if that wasn't enough, the next month, he beat Jerry Flynn again.
You know what my favorite part of the streak was? Was that time when he... He concussed Bret Hart and ended his career.
Not good. How about where the part where also in May of 1998, where he beat Saturn on three straight house shows, and then he beat him again a week later on a house show. Then the following night, he beat him on a house show where he actually won two matches that night. He wrestled two different WCW house shows on the same night. And then he needed that prep against Saturn, apparently, because then he defeated Saturn again at WCW Slamboree.
I'm gonna stop you right there for the sake of our show tonight. The fact that we have multiple stabbings to talk about, that we have a TNA pay per view, an upcoming Raw, SmackDown pay per view, and lots of stuff in between.
That at one point he extended the streak by being the Giant four straight times?
I tell you what,
Bill and Goldberg seven is, out of nine matches, seven Bill out of nine.
He is a once in a lifetime athlete.
Eight out of 11. Nine. More than that. Oh, my God. I'm looking at this. I got to keep going down the page. Okay. He won 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row. Then beat Scott Hall. Then DDP. Then beat the Giant 3 more times. Then he beat Ming. And then he beat the Giant 4 more times.
That feels like he had a pretty good run against the Giant there.
Oh, he owned that guy, man. The next time I talk to Big Show, I'm going to be like, do you remember when Goldberg used to own you?
Would Goldberg beat you like 10 times in a month?
What the hell was that? How stiff was that spear?
You know what's interesting is that last week, wasn't it last week, where Kevin Owens was on SportsCenter talking about how he wanted to face Goldberg in a match? Or he wanted to face Brock Lesnar in a match.
He wanted to face Brock Lesnar. Everybody wants to face Lesnar. Because of the money.
But
that's,
he called him out, though. I mean, it wasn't really a big call out, but...
Right. Everybody either wants to face Lesnar or they want to face Taker at WrestleMania. And, you know, but this match isn't going to happen at Mania, it sounds like, which is one of the interesting things, is that it sounds like they're going to do it at Survivor Series. Now, mind you, from a business standpoint, I understand it from this, okay? The business model is different. And all they want people to do is subscribe to the WWE Network. Is there anything else that really stands out? And we don't even know what the card's going to be for Survivor Series, but it's still considered, you know, one of the big four pay-per-views for WWE, one of the four big events. And they want to get a little extra oomph for that. And it seems like this is the route that they're going with that, is by putting Goldberg on there. And you can get away with not having it at a WrestleMania, because WrestleMania, even though it's its biggest show of the year, it does not mean as much on the great landscape from this aspect of you're always trying to get subscribers to the network. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania will sell itself, sure, but Survivor Series does not sell itself. I will say this, though. Everybody has been saying Survivor Series for this match. I really wonder if it's going to happen then. And I almost wonder, would they hold this off to the Royal Rumble? And the reason being is that the Royal Rumble is returning to the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas, for the first time in 20 years. The last time they had it there, they did over 60,000 people in attendance, the biggest attendance they've ever had for a Royal Rumble. And I know that they want to break that record. So to me, you would need something extra for that. And a Goldberg versus Lesnar match could be that something extra that could really attract people to buy a ticket and be in live attendance for that show.
I get what you're saying. I think that could be a draw. But I think the advantage Royal Rumble has is the Royal Rumble match is a draw, so you don't need a headliner the same way. We can kind of assume at this point they're going to put a Raw versus SmackDown match as the Survivor Series match on Survivor Series, right? Because it is the next co-branded pay-per-view.
Well, they'll do 15. Well, in the Rumble match itself, they'll do 15 Raw, 15 SmackDown.
Well, but I'm saying it's Survivor Series. They're going to do a Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series match because it is the next Survivor Series.
We don't know that for a fact, but I mean, it would make sense.
Sure, but that's not a draw for Survivor. And the problem Survivor Series has, you talk about the big four, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, WrestleMania. All three of those have a very good identity. Survivor Series just has this, it's been around forever, so of course it's a big show identity. So I really do believe, like, it's kind of like when The Rock came back about 3-4 years ago and he did a tag match on Survivor Series. I think that show needs an anchor. I think Bill Goldberg could be that anchor. I think it'd be an interesting tactic to take. More interesting to me is that Goldberg is not turning this into, if this does pan out, not turning this into a WrestleMania weekend event, right? We all kind of thought he's going to come back, Hall of Fame, WrestleMania on Sunday, and go out, you know, kind of with this big, big hurrah. So I think it's fascinating he's coming back potentially this early before the Hall of Fame stuff takes place. I don't know. I don't think, unless he's a surprise entrance in the Rumble, I don't think the Rumble as a show needs him.
Well, it sounds like they would have put him against Lesnar, and I get why they want to do that. I mean, it's the first time that they've done it, and it's the first time that Goldberg's been back since 2002 when they faced each other at WrestleMania 20, and we all know how that match went. It didn't go that well. The crowd just turned on both of them in that match. Goldberg ended up winning, but everybody knew Lesnar was leaving. Goldberg was leaving. Lesnar was just ticked off at the company, wanted out of his contract. He was walking out. Goldberg's contract was ending. He was done with the company. He was fed up with it. And Goldberg got the win. Austin was the special referee, ended up giving stunners to both of them after the match. But it was a clunker of a match. They got thrown off because of the crowd reaction. And, you know, that's the way that people remember that match. But it sounds like they want to go back to it. You know, for myself, maybe it's a little bit of a different aspect in that I understand why they want to do that match. You're talking about two big stars, but it's not something I'm really intrigued by. To me, they've right. got to do a lot of groundwork when it comes to a story to build this. And I can understand how they can do that as well. But I don't know how jazzed I'm going to be to see a Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match.
Who would you want to see Goldberg fight if he came back?
That's interesting because it depends on how do you want to use him. Do you want to use him and will Goldberg do business knowing that he can help make somebody else? Uh-huh. Or do you want to use him in a role where he steamrolls somebody?
Yes.
Okay, because if you do the steamroll one, I would want to face The Miz.
Okay.
If you want him to be competitive and put over a guy, I would say Roman Reigns.
I don't think Goldberg's in a spot where he's going to come back and put somebody over. I know that's what we say we want our legends right. to do, but I think Goldberg's a special case where he's not wrestled in a decade or more, 12 years, however long it's 14 been.
14 years.
14 years. And so there's going to be a novelty about him coming back, and I think he's going to want to win the match, and I believe fans want to see him win the match because they are invested in him. I don't think they're going to want to see him go up to a guy and necessarily lose. Now, if he's facing Roman Reigns, the problem you have there is Roman Reigns. If you're using Goldberg to get Roman Reigns over, it's not going to work because the fans just don't like Roman Reigns.
Right.
They're still going to pull for Goldberg.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I expect that, too. Here's another one that they could really do. And they could go either way on this, but I would assume they'd have Goldberg win. She could put him against Rusev.
Mm. Oh, yep. I think that could be a fun match.
I do, too.
That could be a fun build, a fun match.
So what do you think? I mean, I know this is very early. We're just kind of speculating. They haven't even announced it yet officially, but we expect them to announce this. So if they do Goldberg against Lesnar, do you think Goldberg would win that match? Because they've invested so much in Brock.
Right. But having him lose to Goldberg,
that undoes a lot of things.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a silver lining in it. I don't think it exists.
I'd want Lesnar to go over.
Especially how they put Lesnar over Randy Orton, and they did it again in the house show. And I don't see a world where putting Brock are putting Goldberg over Brock doesn't result in Brock looking weak.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, have you had Brock go on this winning streak, including ending the Undertaker's streak at WrestleMania, just so we could eventually lose to Bill Goldberg?
Right.
Who this is probably going to be his one and only match with the company. And I don't know that for a fact. I mean, we don't know. What if Goldberg, comes on for Survivor Series, they do it then. And then what if he comes back, say, at the Royal Rumble and or WrestleMania? Match.
So I was going to say, there's that potential where they turn this into a series, in which case Goldberg can lose, but he can also win later on and still protect. Like, as long as Lesnar does not just lose to Goldberg and then they move on, Lesnar can afford to lose once in a series and it'd be okay. It happened with The Undertaker. I think where it could become an issue is if they have interference. It could protect Lesnar. Like, if Lesnar loses by interference, much like he did last year when he fought Seth Rollins. However, again, then you have to set up a series there. Unless it's Kevin Owens, that could be fun. Kevin Owens interferes in the Brock Lesnar-Bill Goldberg match. He's the champion. He calls out Lesnar, sets up a feud there. Yeah, that could work.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of different places they could go there. So, I mean, like I said before, I'm not too excited about this match, but I get why they want to do it. and it's two big stars. And, you know, we live in a big event culture. We live in a big fight culture. And this is still two really, really big names. I mean, hey, myself and everybody else that talked to Goldberg, you know, during SummerSlam weekend at the 2K event, we asked him about it, and he said, hey, the ball is in their court. The ball is in their court. I mean, he didn't totally excuse it. I mean, I don't think it was something he absolutely had to have, but if the business was right, the money was right, he was more than willing to do it.
Right.
And it sure sounds like they've made a deal.
Yep.
And he's going to be doing it. So that's an interesting choice with Survivor Series as well. I mean, can you imagine if they announced it now and then you had this, you know, 6 month build or whatever it is to Mania?
Yeah, that's almost a little bit early, because then what do you set up Lesnar for in between without making it seem like we're not just waiting and not biting time, you know?
I don't know, but I mean, you got to remember they did The Rock and John Cena with a year build.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a little bit different because they'd already fought. I think this is potentially too early. I think it gets lost in the shuffle of everything that happens between now and next. It's not early enough. WrestleMania is a year out, and that was kind of cool, right? But it's not early enough yet, and you're gonna lose sight of Lesnar in the interim.
Maybe.
I'm being nitpicky. I'm being nitpicky, but whatever.
Well, I mean, we don't even know who they have planned for Lesnar right now, and that. To me, that's a very interesting thing on who would they want to put Brock against between now and then, what their idea is for WrestleMania, all these different things when it comes to how do they want to utilize, you know, Brock Lesnar going forward. And we'll just have to wait and see how that all plays out. So let's talk about one of the other things that are going on. So, and there is
stabbings in the wrestling world.
Stabbings,
multiple stabbings.
We could talk about stabbings in the wrestling world. Okay, so Alberto Del Rio was scheduled to work a big AAA event in Mexico on Sunday. He did not make it, and everybody was wondering, what happened? Where's Alberto Del Rio? Here we go again. You know, he's missing dates, whatever. Then he comes out earlier this week, and he produces two pictures on Instagram, one of cuts on his left arm and another of a cut on his head. And he basically says, hey, I was attacked outside of a restaurant by somebody, and because of that, I couldn't make the show. Then a lot of people are going, well, why didn't he call them? Why didn't he do anything? And MLW has since come out and said they've talked to him, and Del Rio says that he was outside of a restaurant in San Antonio. The guys were actually in their cars. There was a car wreck. Del Rio was ticked but was going to let it go because he needed to go catch his flight. Then he got attacked. All this went down. He had to go to the hospital. He had to get all checked out, you know, go to the police. And during the whole scuffle, he lost his cell phone, so he couldn't call anybody. And Stu was trying to make it to the show, but he couldn't. And the word came out later. So, and there's still some other reports that, you know, are still claiming maybe this did not happen. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things still going on with this. It's up in the air. And I don't want to call anybody a liar. I need some more concrete evidence, but there are some questions still surrounding this entire story, which is a crazy story, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, it is crazy. I have not kept up with the news today. I know there was talk about him being cut yesterday, but did not hear that it could be potentially, you know, the problem with Alberto Del Rio is that he goes missing and you assume that he's maybe doing some illicit stuff he should not be doing.
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe so, you don't assume that. I don't know.
And you know what? That was the least of the stabbing incidents, because WWE producer Jamie Noble was hospitalized when he was involved in a road rage incident where apparently he accidentally cut somebody off and people in this car decided to follow him home and attacked him.
Into his trailer park.
Yes, he lives in a trailer park. He really does. He was stabbed two times, and he was attacked in his front yard. This guy got out of a car saying he pushed him off the road. He apologized. You know, Noble apologized. And then this guy decided to attack him. And, I mean, there was some pretty nasty wounds here, man. Stabbed him once through his back near his spine. The blade went between his ribs and hit his lung. and his lung has been filling up with blood, so they had to medevac him to the hospital. So he's actually pretty lucky to be alive. And they're still looking for the perpetrator in all of this. And he's a little bit worried from the standpoint that this guy who attacked him knows where he lives.
That is worrisome.
So that's a very, very scary incident, and hopefully Jamie Noble gets better. That's some weird, weird stories right there. And these knife attacks. I mean, I don't like to hear about any attack, much less, you know, a knife attack, man.
Yeah.
People are carrying around knives and attacking people now?
I carry around a pocket knife. Don't attack people with it, but
I hope carry not. Well, you do live in the Carolinas, so no wonder
the
you
Carolinas.
Carry a knife.
Carolinas is not a place. It's North Carolina and South Carolina. Get it right.
Okay, so before we get to Raw and SmackDown, let's talk about the other hot rumor that's going around. Hot scorcher. So, Jim Ross, actually, let's rewind a little bit. So Jason Powell, our good friend from ProWrestling.net, was recently on the PW Torch livecast with Wade Keller last week. And he threw out a scenario where he thought it was possible WWE could purchase TNA Wrestling's video library. And then somebody else, possibly Billy Corgan, could purchase the remainder of the company. And it made sense that this could happen from the standpoint of Corgan because he wants the company and he's been very public in saying that he wants to rebrand it. He wants to take away the TNA name, come up with a different name and move forward like that. Jim Ross earlier this week on his podcast said, hey, guess what? It looks like this is actually going to happen. The two sides are talking. A deal is imminent. Then there was more talk about it today. TNA officials are refuting this. Including Dixie Carter, who said it's just rumors. Bob Ryder works for the company, says there is no deal. This is all rumors. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and we'll see exactly what happens. But that's the talk out there, is that WWE could get the TNA library. Billy Corgan could become the majority owner of the rest of TNA's assets, and then he would just rebrand the company. TNA is in the middle of doing their television tapings right now at Universal Studios, and they are going to tape enough shows that's going to take them through the end of the year. So this potentially could then be Corgan could rebrand the company if this all goes down, and he could relaunch it under the new brand come the beginning of 2017.
I think it's like the best of all possible worlds, right? So I would love for WWE to get their hands on the TNA video library because there's so much there. They throw it on the WWE network, and we can go back and watch the early days of TNA or relive some of those classic AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe matches. It would be a fantastic. So I'm excited about that. We can relive the entire Aces and Eights angle, which I know you're looking forward to, Brian.
Mm.
And then all the various kidnappings that have happened over the years on TNA that were never reported to Florida authorities. We can revisit all those moments.
Samoa Joe walking around with a machete.
Yeah, right. And nobody called the police. But I think this is a win-win if this deal pans out, because it means WWE gets what they want and they can put together great videos around Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode, and now AJ Styles. They can put one of their fantastic DVD packages, Blu-ray packages out on him. I would love that. And then Billy Corgan gets what he wants and wrestling fans get what they want, which is this existing TNA talent roster that has kind of come back to life in the last year, able to kind of reform and refocus and put on this unique and solid wrestling product that they've been putting on for a while. I think that's good. You know, WWE always has the option later down the road of trying to poach talent, and if they want to, they will try to. But in the interim, Billy Corgan can kind of take his vision of TNA and execute it to a higher level without the video library, which he doesn't need. And he can rebrand it so we can stop calling the stupid place TNA. I think if this deal pans out, it's the best possible deal. So I got my fingers crossed right now.
Well, you know, I think that would be a very good scenario from the standpoint of Corrigan taking over, because I think there's a lot of people within the company that would like to see that. There's a lot of the talent that really trusts Billy and his vision for the company. Here's a couple of things that I wonder about, though. Number one, say they do this deal, they sell the video library, and then Billy gets majority ownership of this, okay? Is that enough money to repay the debts and pay off Aerolux, possibly pay Fight Network if they need to pay Fight Network, or maybe they just keep a certain share of the company for the deal that they have with them? But does everybody get settled out of this deal? And it's good enough to where Dixie Carter would be happy with the amount of money she was getting. I would assume that the money that Corrigan's already invested into the company, that could be something that could go towards his purchase, becoming a majority owner. So there's some questions about that, because remember, there is some debt that's been incurred here, and there's some outstanding lawsuits that are coming up as well. The other question I have is, in a deal like that, it sure sounds like Dixie Carter would not be involved anymore. Like, she would be totally out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's ready to be out. I mean, she has been somebody that has fought and kicked and screamed and, you know, wants to be involved. She's always been trying to find more investors that would allow her to get the money she needs to continue funding the company, but also keep her in control. And yeah. In a scenario like this, she would not be in control. I mean, right now, she owns a majority of the company, but Billy Corgan is the president, and he's operating everything on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic there. I mean, so apparently she had a meeting with the talent during one of the tapings, Monday or Tuesday night, and she just said, hey, you know, I've been in those. There's been a lot of speculation. There's been a lot of talk out there. I'm not selling the WWE. That's not going to happen. We're trying to move forward with this. You know, I apologize for everything, but, you know, we're trying to make this work. And, you know, there was never a point where we were not going to have Bound for Glory and not have the TV tapings. You know, it's funny because last week she even threw out there on Twitter about, I normally don't respond to speculation, but, you know, we're moving forward, Bound for Glory, the TV tapings. That comment, though, is ridiculous, because the president of the company has done two interviews, including one on ESPN Radio national radio across the country on nearly 300 stations on Dan Lebatard's show, where he's publicly talking about, hey, the ownership of the company is in the air. I'm trying to buy it. I don't know if I'm going to get it. I don't know what's going to happen, if we're going to have a pay-per-view, if we're going to have TV tapings. Right. WWE right. might be purchasing the company. So all of this is going down. And yep. And Dixie's just like, I don't like to respond to speculation. And even today, and she might be right, but she just said, hey, you know what? I'm not buying into speculation. Hey, we came off a great Bound for Glory. We're doing TV tapings. We're going to have an exciting pay-per-view or an exciting television show on Thursday night. So I'm not saying, you know, that it's not going to happen, but we haven't heard anything concrete that this has happened or is going to go down. So there's still a lot of hoops to be, you know, jumped through here, but
sure,
it would be a very good scenario, I think, for everybody concerned. Here's one of the other things too about this. Okay. Say it all goes down the way that we think. Okay. Or the way it's been laid out so far. I am always going to believe that TNA is still going to be treading water and going to be in trouble until they can prove that they can be profitable. That means they probably need to improve on their television deal or get a lot of advertisers, which is going to be extremely difficult. And something Billy Corgan even admitted on ESPN Radio, the difficult, you know, culture of trying to get advertising for TNA and for wrestling. Until he finds other revenue streams, he's got to bring in more money. And I don't know where that's going to come from. And until you are regularly bringing in more money and that you prove that you can be profitable for more than a 3-month period, I mean, this has got to be sustained for like at least a year.
Yeah.
That they're still going to be in the same kind of trouble money wise that they've been in.
The question is whether or not a selling of the video library would give them enough money to prop them up long enough for Billy Corgan's view, his vision to be executed to the point where he can show profitability, right? Because
yeah.
if he's got a vision, I want to see him have the full runway, like you said, a year to do that. So I'm hoping with this selling of the video library that has been rumored, it is going to result in them having a little bit of extra pocket
well,
cash.
Well,
to
see,
do
this
that.
Is the thing though, Ben. I think whatever money they get from the video library, and I don't know this for a fact, I don't know how much they could get for that. I don't think it's going to be more than at most $4 million, and I don't even think it's going to be that much. And yeah. I think all that money is going to go to, let's pay Aerolux, let's pay any other outstanding debt we have, and let's put some money in Dixie's pocket. And I don't know how much of that would go to Billy, because Billy might just say, hey, you know that money I've already invested in paying for three different television tapings, which is probably close to $2 million. Maybe he says, I've already put in that, and I'm going to put in another X amount of money, and now I'm the majority owner.
Yeah.
So yeah. You're not talking about any like excess money laying around from these deals. Because remember, for him to become the majority owner, even without the video library, that means he has got to purchase that from Dixie, because she's still the majority owner.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah, that's true.
And that means he's also got to find investors. He's got to find other people to sink in money, probably. And go back to the point that I made about Dixie, you know, probably still not wanting to get out of the company. Remember a few years ago, they had a deal done with Jeff Jarrett and Toby Keith. That deal was done. It was between Bob Carter, because at the time, remember, Panda Energy still owned it. I mean, since then, Panda Energy has separated itself from the company, from TNA, and TNA's parent company is actually now Impact Ventures. But they separated themselves. But before that, Bob Carter still owned it, Dixie's father. They had a deal done, but he insisted that Dixie still kept the title with the company, that paid her probably a pretty good amount of money, and she was not going to be kicked out, that she would be involved. You know, she would keep her title and still probably be on television. And Jeff and Toby were like, no. Yeah. And so the sale did not happen. And can you imagine if it had happened then?
It's interesting because back then it had so much momentum and it was in a different spot. But yeah, who knows? Who knows? I would be surprised if Jeff Jarrett's still not trying to buy it back. Oh. Global Force Wrestling, who needs that?
Same with me. You know, I mean, and who knows what can happen off of this? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if they start, I mean, if they do get sold, whether it's Corrigan or somebody else, and say that they start getting a little bit of momentum, and I'm not saying they're going to challenge WWE. We've gone down that road. That is not happening, okay? But what if they get their numbers back to where they're even higher than what they are now, and there's some buzz around them? Would another network that'd be willing to pay for them be interested in buying them and be interested in, you know, putting them on their network? I mean, would a Spike TV be interested again? Would somebody else that has some money that's a little bit of a bigger network, might they be interested? I don't know. But that would have to be the goal, because they're not making any money off this Pop TV deal.
Right, right.
And I mean, a big part of that is splitting advertising. And there's no advertising being brought in for TNA Wrestling.
Yeah.
So that's a big, curious. It's a big thing that's out there. And we'll see if there is, you know, actually something really to this, something more concrete. I mean, all the stories out there right now have been reportedly and allegedly and, you know, so I want to see something a little bit more concrete. I want to see something more substantial before we really go out of there, and rather than just this might possibly happen. So, I mean,
there's potential that something could.
You know, yes, exactly. So I always call it, and I'll say it again, the Ferris Bueller theory. I heard from my best friend's brother from this guy that heard from this kid that was over at Baskin Robbins and said that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's the way it always goes down, right?
That's right.
Let's talk a little Raw and SmackDown. Oh, by the way, you know, there's another freaking pay-per-view this weekend.
Well, hold on, time out. Did you go to Bound for Glory on Sunday?
Yes, I did. I was Bound for Glory.
What was your experience like in the building?
You know, it was a solid show. There was definitely some matches that
needed a little work.
Needed some work. The Hardys match once again stole the show. You know,
and that was such a fascinating thing to me. That's kind of why I wanted to bring this up, because the show was fine top to bottom. I don't think anything stood out. I don't think, unlike what Josh Matthews said, we're not still talking about the X Division title match 4 days later. It was fine. It was good. But the lights went out at one point, which I think my favorite chant of the night was pay your light bill.
Light bill. People thought Sabu was going to show up. I joked on Twitter and apologized for accidentally hitting the switch.
Whoops. Just lean back, your whoopsies.
Oops, sorry about that.
Like the Hardy match, the final deletion, whatever they called it now, the leader decay.
This was the Great War.
The Great War. I think the entrance was kind of cool, but I did not, I don't know, there was something about them switching to the prepackaged video footage backstage that took me out of the moment, because they tried to build it into the in-ring stuff the way they did, that I just when they were doing the cuts, like when the drone was over the truck driving down the highway and they were editing that, it just, it took me out of the moment because the timing wasn't right. Like, I don't know if you noticed this, but the timing was skipping a little bit. So it was skipping. It just took me out of the moment.
I just like that they must be able to teleport, because like at one point, Matt and Abyss are fighting in the building. And the next thing you know, we don't know where they're at. They're in a parking lot, right? Now, mind you, I see that Ferris wheel there, and I go, man, they're not even at Universal Studios, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we all knew that this was film stuff, and it looks like it was probably filmed, like, in the middle of the night before. It's down the road a few miles on International Drive, right? So they're fighting there. But we know they're pretty far from the building, because they have to get in the back of this pickup truck and drive to the building. So, right. Like, from 1 second, it's just like, they're at the building. Next thing you know, they're in a parking lot someplace else. And then they're driving back, you know, down this big stretch of road. I mean, it's, you're not supposed to be able to explain it. It's just supposed to be fun. You know, it's supposed to be something that's totally different, something that's totally off the wall. And because of that, you know, I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Even when they were doing the pre-tape stuff, everybody in the building was still engaged, was still into it. And even the finish where, you know, they set up the ladder and Matt told Jeff that he could indulge himself. Yeah. And he did, and he did the big dive off the ladder. If you watch that, man, Jeff is lucky, because he didn't, like, jump off the ladder, like, separate himself. And when he went down, his head scraped right up against the ladder and might have even hit one of the rungs of the ladder.
Oof.
And I was like, I mean,
see that.
It was bad. There was a guy next to me that even had some pictures, and his was, you know, taking quick shots. And we could look at that frame by frame, and we were looking at it going, oh, my goodness, did he hit his head? I mean, that was way too close. It was one of those where instead of, like, jumping out, he just literally just kind of let gravity do its thing when he went off the top of the ladder.
Oh, so, man. Yeah. I was also the missed pinfall was a pretty big deal to me.
Rosemary, Mr. Q.
Mr. Q and the referee just didn't count the three. That was a big faux pas. I like WWE's methodology of, if there's a pinfall, count it and go with making it, because it was kind of awkward.
Yeah, that was pretty awkward.
It was a fun match, though. I did enjoy it. It was a fun Raw, and the stuff they did in the ring especially, I think, was a lot of fun. So
when it comes to WWE, between Raw and SmackDown, anything that stood out for you?
Women's match on Monday night was great. I dug it.
It was a very good match. I mean, they went out of their way to do a great job in showing that video package and building up that match throughout the night. And it's funny, because we've talked about this, the difference between Raw and SmackDown. In SmackDown, there's a little bit more character development. There's a little bit more into the stories, building up the matches and whatnot. Raw just felt like they were just shoving stuff out there and trying to have these great matches. And it really felt like Raw kind of took a cue from SmackDown this week.
Okay. I agree, with an asterisk, and that asterisk saying Raw is still too long to ever be as impactful as SmackDown.
Oh, I agree with that, and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, that's just not going to change. But they did a lot more on that show between the great segment with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, where they even teased, you know, Jericho challenging Owens for a title shot, to where they teamed together to face the New Day for the tag team titles.
I have to call out how great that segment was between the New Day. Was that this week? That must have been the New Day segment and Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. Was that last week?
That was this past Monday.
That was this past
Monday. Yeah, because Chris kept putting each one of them on the list.
Yes. God, this is like, that's the way wrestling segments that are meant to be funny should be, right? That it pushed forward the storyline between the New Day and Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens. And Chris Jericho was in full heel mode, but he was hilarious. Kevin Owens was the perfect counterpart to Jericho. I think that was a fantastic segment. And I got to call out all those guys for being there and just entertaining the crap out of me.
It was great. Yeah, and you know what the big moment is going to come? And I don't know, and I hope they don't do it too soon, but the moment where there is a rift between Jericho and Owens, and the thing that puts it over the top is when Chris says, "That's it, Kevin. I'm putting you on the list." When he puts Owen on the list, I'm telling you right now, that will entrench Jericho as the heel in that feud, and that will make Kevin Owens a babyface.
You're going to get it.
It.
It. You know, there was just so many. Chris Jericho, you got to love him. He is doing such great character work right now with just the way he's changed his persona, this Bon Jovi ripoff. But his comedic timing is just better than ever. The way he pops in, like when he was talking to Ashton Kutcher and that other dude from that 70s show, when he walked away and then popped back into the screen, it's just funny stuff. But you take him so seriously because he takes his character so seriously. I just love it.
Well,
love
how about it. The parts where Jericho's putting somebody on the list and Owens always has to look over his shoulder and correct him because Jericho obviously is the worst speller on the planet.
Oh, man. Oh.
Kofi with an I. It's got an I.
I was expecting him to go Big E, no, with an E, not with a, you know.
It's just one E, not two.
Right.
I mean, Owens is so great about it. Did you see? So it wasn't this past week. It was the previous Raw from 2 Mondays ago, where there was one point where Owens is standing on the ring apron and Jericho gives him his scarf, like to put on the ring post. And Owens is like, oh, okay. And then when Jericho turns his back, Owen just throws it over his shoulder onto the floor.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's what makes it work is that they've set up Kevin Owens as being such a serious character that they just it's not the Rock and Sock connection, but it is that same kind of dynamic where one guy's a little bit less hinged and the other guy is straight laced and serious. And then they just have this fantastic chemistry on top of it all.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, you know, the women's match between Sasha Banks and Charlotte, so they did it again. And Sasha Banks won the match again. And, you know, it was a great match that they had. They really spotlighted the women. They put them in the main event on the show. And, you know, Sasha is the champion again, which I'm a little bit surprised that they did, but it makes sense. I mean, when they did it the last time, they had to do a little bit of a reboot because, remember, she got injured. So they switched the title at SummerSlam. They weren't sure how long she was going to be sidelined for. And I think that's why they put the title back on Charlotte. And then once they found out she really wasn't going to miss too much time, they said, let's go back to the original plan. Let's put the belt back on Sasha. I think the most surprising thing is that they did the title switch again on TV rather than pay-per-view. But now it sure sounds like they're going to have one more match, and they are going to do the first ever women's Hell in a Cell between Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
I love it. I love it. I think these two women have earned it. I think everybody agrees with that. But I think the physicality of these matches they've had, SummerSlam, despite the kind of the mess ups here and there, the matches they had have been brutal. They have been tough. They have been physical. And so to put them in the cell, I'm not saying we want to see two women fight it out and get bloody, but I think these two women can make it a physical match and make smart use of the cell in a way that their former men competitors have not. So I think that is a good call, and I think it's a good elevation for women's wrestling in WWE and just in the industry in general.
So they've already announced two Hell in a Cell matches. Well, they haven't announced that one, but they definitely announced Rusev against Reigns. Okay. And that will be a Hell in a Cell, and then we'll see if they do any more. So that's interesting they're doing those two. They also did – so they did the sit-down interview with Seth Rollins, and basically – now he's a full-fledged babyface.
Sure.
So, I mean, it was good. I don't think it was great, but it was good.
It was fine. It was, you know, it was fine.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I didn't have any problems with it. I mean, it is what it is going forward with Seth. It's a little bit weird talking about how everything's been handed to Kevin Owens when that's exactly what happened with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, that this is where they're going to go with Seth. And I'll be very curious to see, you know, if they do a title switch anytime soon.
And I think they handled that out fine. The backstage segment between Seth Rollins and Stephanie McMahon, where she said, "We handed everything to you as well, and we're going to see how you do without it because you're not going to do that well." So I feel like they've done a good enough job of addressing that Seth Rollins is in some way reformed now, and that Kevin Owens being the new Seth Rollins has a reason to kind of for the fans to hate him, to be a heel. So I dig that dynamic.
I wasn't that hot on SmackDown. I thought that there was a lot of filler that they did on that show overall, But then they ended with a really, really hot finish with Dean Ambrose, John Cena, and AJ Styles just smack-talking one another. And, you know, the stuff between Ambrose and Cena has been tremendous. Between what they've done on Talking Smack to what they did on the show here was really, really good, I thought. And you've got AJ in between. Up until that point, I mean, it was just, I mean, I didn't think too much of the show. They're trying to build Alexa Bliss, you know, as a real, you know, threat to Becky Lynch in her championship. They did the segment with Dolph and with The Miz. And we did see some members of the Spirit Squad back, which I don't care what anybody says. I like the Spirit Squad, okay?
I love that segment, though. You know, this is one of those things that WWE can do very well, but sometimes they phone it in. And that is bringing two guys together who are having a feud onto one of these talk show segments. And it either goes really boring where you're like, oh yeah, they just argued and moved on. Or on SmackDown, they used The Miz and leveraged this hilarious video package about Dolph Ziggler. It was cracking me up and built this feud up even more. You know, by just being funny and coming up with some new media and then with a surprise appearance. So I love the segment. I wasn't looking for the Spirit Squad to come back, but I think it was a great callback. And it was a fun thing to see them come back and put some more heat on The Miz in the process.
Yeah, I mean, the entire show, I mean, the matches that they had, nothing was really great. But they did a very good job in the main event of spotlighting the championship match for No Mercy on Sunday. So I like that, and I like that they've got guys that can really, you know, back everything up with the way that they're able to talk in the mic and kind of how personal they get, and they get in each other's faces. It doesn't sound scripted or overly scripted, at least. So I like that. But, you know, the bottom line is we got another damn pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah.
So we got No Mercy on Sunday. I mean, every 2 weeks. I mean, this is getting brutal already.
Could you name more than three matches off the top of your head from that pay-per-view?
Okay, so I know we're getting The Miz putting his IC title on the line against Dolph Ziggler, who's putting his career on the line. Okay. We are doing Alexa Bliss against Becky Lynch for the SmackDown Women's Championship. They are doing the main event, AJ, Ambrose, and Cena.
Got three. All right. And
are they doing American Alpha versus the Usos?
I don't know.
Let me look. Hold on. No. Oh, damn it. How did I not think of this? They're doing the Usos against Slater and Rhino.
A rematch from the
last time. And they're doing Randy Orton against Bray Wyatt.
Oh, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
Ah, how did I forget that?
They have done a decent job of setting up some feuds, but I think what's happening now is, to your point, with these back-to-back pay-per-views, and of course, TNA having something last Sunday didn't help matters any. We're getting to this point where the pay-per-views and the feuds from both brands are starting to overlap, and they're making me forget things about wrestling. There is almost too much going on the main roster right now.
Oh, absolutely. You know? They're doing Nikki Bella against Carmella as well. Mm-hmm. And then Kurt Hawkins will make his official SmackDown return. Mm-hmm. I know you're excited about that. And also officially added, Jack Swagger, Baron Corbin.
Jack Swagger, poor guy. He had that backstage segment with Corbin. And
ooh boy.
Corbin did a solid job of delivering his lines. And Jack Swagger did a Jack Swagger job of delivering his lines.
Sure.
He is always going to be hamstrung by his inability to talk. He just struggles on the mic.
Unfortunately, you are correct.
Poor guy. I like Swagger.
I do too. It's just,
he can't get over the hump.
That's rough stuff right there, man.
Got the look. He's got the in-ring skills. And he does not have the gift of gab.
No, unfortunately, he does not. So I think the only other thing that really stood out for me as I'm waiting for the ESPN segment to start up here with Coach is the new partnership between Cesaro and Sheamus, which I thought they played off each other really, really well.
Yeah. And it seems like they're setting up an eventual, they're doing it more and more eventually, sooner and sooner, a Sheamus face turn.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to if they're going to make that tag team work. And I think it still goes to show that they are just still not ready to pull the trigger on Cesaro.
Yep. So who would have thought when this draft happened a couple of months ago that SmackDown would end up with the deeper and more developed tag team division than Raw.
Oh, I know. That's so weird, right?
It's just amazing to me. And then the tag team division being headlined by Heath Slater and Rhino, of all the guys. If you'd have told me this 4 months ago, I would have laughed in your face and said, that's ridiculous.
I mean, it's deeper, but at the same time, when you look at the overall tag teams, there's a lot of eye rolling going on there because you've got the Ascension and you've got the Vaudevillains and you do have Rhino and Heath Slater, even though they've started to become something. And of course, you've got the Usos and you've got American Alpha. But when you look at it, I mean, a lot of times you say, there's two tag teams there that I really care about.
On paper, it doesn't work. But I think they've executed fairly well with all of these guys.
For the most part, I mean, you're always going to have problems with the Ascension, I think. And sure. You're going to have problems with the Vaudevillains.
Sure.
But they still need another team over there. They need at least another team.
They need more. But what I'm saying, though, I guess, is they've given the tag teams on SmackDown meaningful storylines that while we can say what we want to about the Ascension lacking the ability to be the next tag team champions, they've given Heath Slater, Rhino, the Usos, and so on and so forth, something to bite into and make tag team on SmackDown, you know, something worth watching.
Sure. Do you want to give some predictions real quick for No Mercy?
Sure. Let's give them real quick. I got to say it really fast.
Okay. So we won't do every match. We'll just do a couple of them. Randy Orton against Bray Wyatt.
You got to think Bray Wyatt needs a win at some point.
Right.
But I feel about 90% confident they're going to give Randy Orton a much needed win on Sunday.
I'm going to go with Bray.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Bray. I know we've heard it time and time and time and time again, but I will go with Bray. And by the way, best wishes to Eric Rowan, who's out with a torn rotator cuff for the next 6 months. But I'll go Bray. Your boy, The Miz, putting the IC title on the line against Dolph Ziggler, who will retire if he loses. And by the way, where's this at? I got to find this here real quick. Dolph Ziggler put out on Twitter, all bookings starting October 10th will be through Luber Rockling CC at Brian Brooks. Now, I don't know if that's just for Comic Cons and stuff on there, or if that would be something more, but or maybe he's just having some fun with everything.
Sure.
Because some people have tried to say, wow, his contract's coming up, and I looked it up and he signed a multi-year contract last year. Now maybe he had a 1 year out, like Alberto Del Rio's, I don't know. But I still think that Ziggler's winning this match.
Okay, I have become more convinced. I think, you know, I believe Miz would win for a while. I think Ziggler is gonna win it. I think you're right.
By the way, Bill Goldberg is talking to Coach right now.
Okay, do you have closed captions on?
I do not have closed captions
on. What's the scoop?
Hold on, I'm going to turn the volume up just a little bit, okay?
Uh-huh.
Oops, I hit the wrong button. Golly.
Uh-oh. You changed the channel, didn't you? We're not going to know. We're not going to know.
Oh, man, I turned the TV off now because I'm doing this. I got my room's basically in the dark.
No.
Here.
No.
Hold on. Dang it. Totally screwed this up. Hold on. I got to turn the light on now.
Here, let me move the microphone over here. You are killing me right now. What is Goldberg saying? Bill Goldberg. What's trending on Twitter? Search Twitter. Goldberg.
Hold on.
Goldberg.
Oh, man. What the heck?
Goldberg. Goldberg.
Hold on. There we go. Hold on. According to this, the graphic they just had on there, he's a former WWE and WCW champion.
He is a former WWE champion.
Wow,
right?
How about that?
He won the World Heavyweight Championship from Triple H?
Well, I know he lost it to Triple H. Remember they did that three-way with him and Kane? The infamous one in Orlando I told you about?
Yeah, wasn't that shortly after the whole Vicky segment?
We were sitting there, and that's when some of the fans, like some buddies, were talking to me and Dickerman before that match. They go, "Hey guys, who's going to win that match? This upcoming match?" And I go, "We both looked at him and go, man, Triple H is going to win." And some guy from the crowd goes, "Oh man, I know what you're talking about, man. That Goldberg, he's going to win that match. Come on,
that
man, Goldberg, man, nobody going to beat Goldberg." And then that Goldberg lost, and that guy goes, "Oh man, man, Goldberg lost, man. What the hell, man, Goldberg?"
Okay, here we go, live off the top rope.
Yep. No, I'm watching again right now. Okay. And he's just talking about the good old heyday of WCW right now.
How long is this segment going to last? I can only stall for so long.
I know, man. This is getting crazy. Okay, in the meantime, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, John Cena. Who do you like?
AJ Styles.
Me too, AJ.
You can't take the belt off AJ yet, or you're going to undo a lot of good work.
I totally agree. And then one other match, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss for the Women's Championship.
Becky Lynch.
It's got to be Becky.
Alexa Bliss is a filler opponent.
Oh, he's talking about, coach is asking him about it, because you're back doing the video game. Goldberg has like this little smug look on his face right now, like, like he's got something to say and he's hiding it or something.
Uh-huh.
He said it was a fairly tumultuous relationship with WWE throughout the years.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can log in and watch it myself. Let's see. PlayStation View is my provider. Oh, where is it? Why is it not on here?
It's on ESPN2.
I know. I'm trying to watch it.
Well, you're not going to be able to watch it. This is captivating radio. I know, everybody. Captivating.
PlayStation View. Okay, I found it. Okay. I got to put in my login.
Oh, by the way, as we wait for this big possible announcement, as he talks about the 2K game, we'll answer some questions. We put it out there on Twitter. AskBTR was the hashtag.
Password My Little Ponies.
There
okay.
you go. Who do you see being AJ's next challenger, assuming he retains at No Mercy?
Who do I see? I would be surprised if they did not go maybe do another one-on-one match with John Cena. But I could also see them spinning off Randy Orton to be a contender for that belt, just as a filler for a little while. Or, I don't know. Yeah, I think Randy Orton's a pretty good
choice. Orton would make a lot of sense. I think Cena's going to be taking some time off to go film American Grit. So I think that would make sense.
Okay.
Let's see. Do you think Ziggler leaves, and what happens to his spot on the roster on SmackDown Live? Raw free agent a la Jack Swagger? No, they've already put it in there that this is not a just switch brands or anything like that. If he loses, he's out.
I think, you know, if he loses, he's out. There was some rumor popping up that they were going to repackage him. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, I mean, I heard that too, and that just doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm not authorized to view this content. What kind of malarkey is this?
Goldberg saying he had a good time, and he's a lot more mature now. But he still hasn't made any kind of announcement. He talked about the video game. They're showing a package of him spearing and jackhammering people from his WCW days.
Video game?
He almost killed somebody right there with that one.
Was it Bret Hart? That man's got a family.
Oh, and he's talking about being on the cover, the back cover, so be it, of 2K.
What's happening?
He said, and the front cover has this goofy guy, Brock Lesnar.
There we go.
He's building it up.
Okay.
He says he has not had a word with Vince McMahon since he left the business. I don't think he's going to make an announcement.
Oh, all that buildup.
I don't think he's going to announce it.
Oh, no.
You know what? It's a bunch of that internet hoo-ha that's out there.
Yep.
Those worthless rumors making the rounds.
So why would they have him on that show tonight? Just to plug the video game?
Just to plug the video game, man. And to get all of us yahoos rumbling about a potential match and checking out WWE's social media feed and watching this damn show. And they got us.
Is it over?
No, but so coach might actually ask him the question right here. He says people are buzzing about the video game, but now that I got you on here, he's going to ask him. Could there be an in-ring return for Goldberg as well? He says, I've been preparing to answer this question for 12 years. He says, I'm an old man. Come on, get to it.
I'm an old man, okay. That means.
No, now he's telling stories about Ric Flair and.
Okay, old man.
He's playing coy.
He's an old man. Means he could.
He goes, but I am Goldberg. Let's see. He says it's something he has to think about. Oh. I've got a 10-year-old boy that has never seen me wrestle. I've got kids that don't know who I am except for licking online. Oh, man. He wants more money. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
He's not going to announce it. He is not going to announce it.
Wow.
We've been teased. We've been bamboozled. We've been snookered.
Well.
Wow. And then the second, if I cut this off right now, though, you know he'll be like, all right, I'm coming back in Survivor Series.
How long does this segment go?
It should be over any minute now, man.
Any minute.
Any minute. Let's see. Other questions on the Twitter machine. If this is the end of TNA as we know it, what will be its legacy?
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles will be a big part of it. I think its legacy will be it was a place that had an opportunity to be a true alternative to WWE. And for a period of time, it was. It found its own niche on... Goldberg had me...
Raptured.
Yeah, because he said, let's just concentrate on October 11th and me kicking Brock Lesnar's ass again in the video game.
So, and that's it.
Son of a gun. But I think TNA's legacy is, like I said, an alternative to WWE. It found its niche for about a 3-4-5 year period there, and it definitely spawned a lot of good talents. But the bottom line is they tried to do too much. They tried to go up against the Beast, and it did not work. And they invested in the wrong parts rather than staying true to themselves, I think, and developing young talent. And it ended up backfiring on them to the point where they're at now, where Jeff Jarrett's no longer with the company that he helped create, that they lost their television deal with Spike TV. They've been fighting up current for a long time and trying to keep TV and trying to stay afloat, and it's been extremely difficult. And we've seen them pay a heavy price because of that, and we're wondering if they're going to be able to stay alive.
Yep.
Oh, man, how about this one? Our good buddy Eric Garjulo at Camel Clutch Blog just tweeted this. A lot of questionable pro wrestling reporting in the last 24 hours. Oh.
Somebody else was watching ESPN the same time we
Coach
were.
Is still trying to get something out of him, though. Give it to Coach. He's like, what would it take for you to get ready if you were to have a match? This is like me interviewing Goldberg, except I don't think he's gotten mad at Coach like he did me.
Yeah.
Everybody watch that video on YouTube. I think I might have misphrased a question just a little bit. Uh-huh. You were there. I mean, you were operating the camera. And what did he say to me? He goes, I'm not even going to answer that question. I'm not even going to dignify that. I asked him something about, are you surprised by the amount of attention that you still get or something?
Yes.
And he's
yes.
like, I'm not even going to dignify that. And then I went back to it and I said, well, I mean, you're an extremely big star and you still are today, but there's a lot of people when it comes to today's wrestling fans, they're younger. They're people that maybe didn't follow WCW back in the day, but yet there's some of those people that are still really, really big Goldberg fans. And then he answered the question.
Yeah.
But man, he wasn't, I can't necessarily say he was mad at me, but man, it was a little bit of a deep stare into my eyes from him after that.
There was a moment where I almost thought I was going to have to pull you out of the way so you didn't get speared.
I think he was sizing me up and was just wondering, where do I hook this guy for a jackhammer? And is there enough headspace in here? So, that was about coming. So, he's not making the announcement. And who knows if we're going to get the match. And we'll see what happens. I mean...
So on that note,
we're going to find out if this happens, if the TNA deal happens. There's a lot of speculation that's out there right now, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, that's one of the cool things about the wrestling business. One of the things I don't like is, and this is with any walk of life, is that I don't like it that there's so much guessing or so much reporting that you don't use enough sources. And I understand sources can't be totally reliable. Some people might have their own agenda, but... You know, there's so many different times where you see different things that are reportedly, probably, likely, and I need something more with it. But it is fun to talk about all the different things. It's fun to be an armchair quarterback when it comes to the business. It's just when you see reports, and I'm not trying to denigrate anybody necessarily, but, you know, you want to see something a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
And that happens every walk of life, especially now when it comes to the power of social media. you know, everybody wants to get attention. And, hey, you know, I overheard a conversation, or I heard from a guy, or whatever. And, you know, sometimes it's right, many times it's wrong. And, but just because Goldberg didn't announce something tonight doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It could still happen. Just because TNA has not announced something tonight does not mean it is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's still a lot of things that could go on. I still think if they're going to do Goldberg against Brock, it makes more sense to me to do it at the Royal Rumble or to do it at WrestleMania. But let's see if he even come to a deal where he agrees to come back for a match.
Yeah.
I mean, that comes first and foremost. So.
Sure. And if you're disappointed, just remember at some point in history, people paid money to go to a pay-per-view to watch Dave Bautista lose to
the Great Khali.
I was hoping you would pull it out for me.
They had that Punjabi match.
The Punjabi prison match.
Yes.
With Bamboo or whatever it was.
Do you remember that time when the streak was going on and Goldberg beat Al Green on August 31st, 1998, followed by a big win a week later in Pensacola, Florida against Scott Putski? I mean, that really happened, okay?
Do you remember that time that the streak was going on and Goldberg beat all of our expectations and did not announce a match against Brock Lesnar on SportsCenter? Because I do.
Do you know that he won 4 out of 5 matches during the streak against Conan? I mean, like, he won 3 in a row against Conan. And then he beat Sting at a house show. And then he beat Conan at the Great American Bash in Baltimore.
That guy should have been a world champion way earlier in his career.
Wait
man.
A second. He beat Conan at the Great American Bash, and he beat Sting at a house show? Shouldn't it have been the other way around?
Gotta protect Sting.
He beat Barry Horowitz on a Thunder in Nashville, Tennessee on April 27th of 1998.
Tell
May.
You,
make that May.
My God. I think we're good. I think we're good on that note.
There were some good days back in the streak, wasn't there? Good days back.
I don't know about that.
And then he went to WWE, and they put Gold Dust wig on him, and it was all over. It was all she wrote. So thanks again, everybody, for listening, for downloading the podcast. Please rate and review the podcast, whether it's on iTunes or on Stitcher. You can find us on SoundCloud. We're on Google Play. We're on the
Napster.
We're on that too.
BitTorrent, your favorite uTorrent client.
We're on some other places. The TuneIn app. That's what I'm trying to think of off the top of my head. So all those different places. And
Music Match Jukebox. It kicks the competitors.
And over
on
SoundCloud, you can listen online. You can download it. And you can even embed the player when you go there. So all these different places that you can check out the podcast. By the way, I hope everybody has checked out the interview I did with Bobby Roode, which is on Sporting News, and I am going to release the audio version of that probably within the next day or so. So I am going to put that out there in audio form as well, so everybody can listen to the conversation between me and the glorious one, Bobby Roode, as we get, and half the interview literally is talking about his theme music. You have to. Appreciate everybody for joining in. Thanks, Michael. Always enjoy the conversation. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you, everybody, and we'll catch you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to betweentheropes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.